the statement, and I'm sure many of you have as well, but I have heard the statement, cleanliness is next to godliness. How many of you have heard that statement before? That's what I figured. It's very common. You hear it quite often, and I've heard it many times through the years. And while there may be some truth to that statement, and I understand the concept behind that statement, I think it would probably be more biblical to say cleanliness leads to or results in holiness. I think that would be a more biblical expression. But when I say cleanliness, I'm not talking here about hygiene. I'm not talking about removing dirt or oil or grime or filth of any kind from our physical bodies. I'm talking about spiritual cleanliness. I'm talking about us removing from our lives, both externally and internally, anything that is filthy in the eyes of God. That type of cleanliness will result in holiness. And I want us to look once again, as we kind of get started in the message, at the verse we just read. I want you to look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. There's several things that I want us to pay attention to in this verse. Notice he says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved. That almost sounds like the beginning of a wedding ceremony, doesn't it? Most traditional weddings begin with the words, dearly beloved. But when Paul says dearly beloved here, what he does is reveal to us his audience. He lets us know who he's talking to. Paul is not talking here to people that are unsaved. He's talking to his beloved brethren, people that know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. So what we're talking about today has to do primarily with people that are already saved. But notice he goes on to say, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. To cleanse is to remove impurity, is to get rid of dirt and defilement, anything that's unclean, you might say. And according to Paul, that's something that needs to take place in our lives. Amen? Y'all with me this morning? Y'all glad to be in church? All right. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from, here's the next thing, all filthiness. That little word, A-double-L, is pretty important. It's a very important word. I believe every word in the Bible is important. Every word in the Bible. But he says right here, all filthiness, not some filthiness, not even most or the majority of filthiness. He says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. That means that God wants, y'all with me? Y'all paying attention? God wants, this is how extreme God is, okay? God wants all filthiness out of our lives. That's what the Bible says, right? God wants all filthiness, not some, not the majority. He wants all of it out. So you and I should never be satisfied with any level or amount of filthiness that's in our lives. Amen? Never be satisfied with any amount. We should never be like most little kids are when they're coming up. And I understand this is not how it is with all children, but I do know that with most kids, when they get dirty, a lot of them, first of all, don't want to bathe at all. Have any of you parents ever noticed that with your kids when they were coming along? Y'all notice that? I don't want to embarrass my son at all, wouldn't want to do that for anything in the world, but I tell you, me and my wife, we've had a struggle at times getting him just to bathe. You know? All this stuff they tell you about parenting, they need to cover some of these things in all these books that they put out. How do you get a child to want to take a bath when they're young and they're dirty? But that's how it is. A lot of kids, they're satisfied with getting dirty and just staying dirty. Here's the sad reality of what I'm saying here. A lot of God's children are satisfied being dirty. They got some filthiness in their life, stuff that
obviously is unclean in the eyes of God, and they are perfectly happy having that filth in their life. But then here's this other thing. When you finally do get a kid to get in the shower, the tub, and get a bath, they'll bathe, but have you noticed they're not real particular about making sure they get all of the dirt off of them? Any of you parents ever had your kid get out and have to make that child get back in and do it all over again because they still had some between their toes or between their fingers? They had some somewhere not too awful long ago. Matthew got dirty and got some dirt between his toes and said, get in the shower. Take a shower and get all the dirt off of you. Head to toe, I want it all gone. Well, he got in there. And he took what he called a shower. But when he got out, it still looked like he had been in a pig pen between his toes there. And I said, son, you are not clean. You got to get back in there and clean up. He didn't want to get back in there. It bothered him to have to get back in the shower. You know what that showed me? He was satisfied with being mostly clean. Long as he got the majority of the filth off of him, he was right. It didn't bother him to walk around with dirt still between his toes. Listen, a lot of God's children are happy being partially clean. They've made some progress in their life. They've got some of the filth out, some of the bad stuff, but there's still some stuff in their life that is filthy in the eyes of God, and they're all right with it. What I'm trying to show you from the verse we read is you should never be satisfied with anything filthy in your life. God says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from, say it with me, all filthiness. That's what God says. But here, let's move on. From all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. That's outside, that's flesh, and spirit, that's inside. So God is not just concerned with what's on the outside. God is concerned with what's on the outside as well as what is on the inside. And here's something that I want to point out to you. You need to understand that you will never be completely clean until you are clean outside and inside. And the reason why I point that out is because I've met some people down through the years who seem, for whatever reason, to put a whole lot of emphasis on one or the other of those two things. And a lot of times they tend to put the majority of the emphasis on what's external, what's on the outside. And I suppose they probably put the majority of emphasis on the outside because they're really concerned about perception. They have a certain perception or image that they want to hold up, and they want people to think that they're spiritual or they're godly or they're holy. And so they work on that stuff on the outside, and they try to get a lot of that stuff out of the way, which is important. But they do that really with an impure motive because they're not really concerned about being clean in the eyes of God. They just want to make sure that nobody thinks bad of them. But here's the thing, you can get all that stuff on the outside cleaned up, all of those sins of the flesh that we like to think about, and we ought to try to get that stuff out. But God doesn't want you to just be clean on the outside. He wants you clean outside and inside. And you will never be completely clean until you deal with both, outside, inside, flesh and spirit. Now here, let's look at it. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Y'all see that? Let us cleanse ourselves. Again, we're not talking here about somebody that is unsaved needing to be saved. We're talking about people who are already saved. When it comes to salvation, I cannot cleanse myself from sin. The only thing that can cleanse my sin for salvation is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood is what the scripture said. When it came to my salvation, I didn't cleanse myself. The Lord did that through his precious blood. But when it comes to my sanctification, not my salvation, but my sanctification, according to what I read right here, I have a personal responsibility to do what I can to clean out any filth that is in my life. That's what the Bible says. Let us cleanse ourselves. It doesn't say sit around and just wait for it to happen. Right? It's a personal responsibility. Again, a simple illustration is like if we get dirty, okay? And we all do. If you do anything, you get dirty and you get to the point eventually where you need a bath. But here's the thing. How many of you have ever gotten dirty and just sat down in a chair and just suddenly got clean? That ever happened to you before? No. What do you have to do? You have to go into a bathroom and either get in a shower or get in a tub. You have to turn on the water. And you have to use some type of cleansing agent, whether it's soap or body wash. My goodness alive, they got all kind of stuff now. My wife's got so many things in the shower, I can't even hardly get in it anymore. I ain't ever seen so much stuff in all my life. She's got to be the cleanest woman in the world. It's unbelievable. But if you're going to get cleaned up, you've got to get in the shower and do something, right? It's not going to just happen. You're not going to just get clean by accident. You have a personal responsibility, please, to all of us, okay, to get in the shower and clean yourself up. And that's what God's saying here. Don't just sit around and say, well, I'm just going to let the Lord do it. Okay. Cleanse ourselves. You and I have a personal responsibility in this thing. We have to do what we can to achieve spiritual cleanliness in our lives. Now, one other main thing that I want you to see here is the end of this verse. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Here it is. And this is why I started out the message the way I did. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. What that shows is what I said in the beginning, that cleanliness leads to or results in holiness, spiritual cleanliness. When we cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, what is the result? The result, according to that, is holiness, genuine holiness. He says, perfecting holiness. The word perfect here is like it is in many places in the Bible. It has to do with the carrying out and completing of a certain thing. It's something that is fully realized. It has to do with full growth of maturity. So how do I arrive at the place where I am genuinely, sincerely, holy from God's perspective, not man's perspective? Because I've talked to you before about holiness and how strange some people's ideas are about holiness. Some people think if they got real long hair and they wear a dress down that drags in the mud everywhere they walk and all that kind of, well, I'm a holy person. They may be full of hell on the inside, but they think they're holy because they look good on the outside. That is not real holiness. Holiness is when on the inside and the outside we cleanse ourselves from anything we know that is filthy in the eyes of God. So it results in holiness. And that is something that we should want. How many of you in here understand this morning that your heavenly Father wants you to be holy? Isn't that what the Bible says? I know this is a modern day world. You know, holiness isn't preached on much anymore. It's still in the Bible, right? It's still in the Bible. I had somebody tell me last night, it's a new one. I've heard the expression, but I'd never actually had somebody say it to me. But I had somebody walk up to me last night and say, I'm one of these strange new millennials. Y'all heard that term they throw it around now, a millennial? That's what a person said to me last night. I just looked at her and said, all right. I mean, what do you say to nonsense like that? You know, I'm one of these modern-day millennials. I was like, all right, you know. What the lady asked me, she said, do you mind if I smoke a cigarette right here? I said, I was trying to be nice, you know. I know y'all think I can't be nice. I was trying to be nice. I said, well, I'll just step over here and you help yourself, all right? She said, no, I wouldn't want to do that, but I'm one of those strange millennials. I said, okay, whatever. But she, thank God, chose not to smoke around me. But here's the thing. Even though so much changes in our world, and they're all the time coming out with these new terms and ways of describing things and all that, the Bible is still the Bible. And it has not changed. You understand me? It is forever settled in heaven. God hadn't changed, His Word hadn't changed, and holiness is just as important right now with God as it ever has been. And the desire we should have as Christians is to achieve holiness, to get to that place where from God's perspective, not man, but God's perspective, we are genuinely holy. And the way that's going to happen, according to what we read here, is by us doing what we can to remove from our lives anything we know is filthy in the eyes of God. Whether it's something coming out of our mouth, whether it's something that's in our mind, whether it's something down in our heart, internal, external, inside, out. We need to attack any of that with great aggression. We don't ever need to be satisfied, never be happy. And I feel like a lot of you in here today have made progress in what we're talking about. Amen? And that's good. It's good that since you've gotten saved, you've made some progress and you have recognize some things in your life that weren't right, that were dirty in God's eyes, and you've started working on that, and you've come along in your life. But here's the thing, even if you've come a long way, don't be satisfied where you are right now. As long as there's anything there that you know is filthy, unclean, dirty in the eyes of God, attack that with as much aggression as you possibly can, so that hopefully you will achieve that holiness that God desires. Now, here's what I want to do, and I got to do this real quick. I want us to look back at chapter 6. Chapter 6. Y'all thought I was done. I could see some of you done close your Bible, getting your purses ready. Look, I was off last Sunday. I got a lot to say this morning. I want us to look back at chapter 6, and I'm going to show you, and really I'm just going to have time to mention these, honestly. I'm going to show you some things that you and I are going to have to do. Things we must take advantage of if we expect to get this dirt and filth out of our lives. Whatever it might be, something inside or out. And some of these things are just mentioned in the chapter. Some of them are dealt with in detail, but I'm going to give them to you as quickly as I can. And this first one, even though I'm talking primarily to saved people this morning, this first one actually does have to do with someone who might be lost here this morning. So the first thing I want to say is if you want to clean yourself up, really get rid of some filth, you're going to have to be saved. You're going to have a true, genuine, personal relationship with Jesus Christ if you expect to ever really, genuinely clean yourself up. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2. In verse 2, he says, and Paul's quoting the scripture here, he's quoting from Isaiah chapter 49. Paul was a Bible believer, friend. And many times in his writing, he would reach back there in that Old Testament. He would grab something that God said, and he'd bring it all the way into the New Testament, and he put it right down on those of us who are saved. And this is what he says, quoting from Isaiah 49. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Look at this now. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Basically what that means, if you're here today and you're lost, right now is when you need to get saved. Amen. Now is your opportunity. Now is the day. I can think of no greater way to spend this day than if you're lost, to trust Jesus Christ and get saved. But here's the thing. If you're ever really going to have a chance to get clean in your life, you're going to have to be saved. Now, I realize lost people can exercise some will and get rid of some habits and that sort of thing. But if you're going to really clean up your life inside and out, the only one that's going to be able to help you really do that is the Lord. So you're going to have a personal relationship with Him. And one reason why I wanted to deal with this is because many times through the years when I've been talking to people that are unsaved about getting saved, this is what they've said to me. I cannot tell you the times I've had them say to me, as they decline the opportunity to get saved, they would say, well, I just got a lot of bad stuff in my life, and I want to kind of clean myself up before I get saved. Any of y'all ever had a lost person tell you that before? I've had them tell me that several times. You know, I don't want to be a hypocrite, so I want to clean my life. I want to get things straight. And what I tell them all is you got that thing just backwards, see. You don't clean it all up and then come. As the old song says, you come just as you are. And you receive Him as your Savior, and then He will enable you to clean up your life. Amen? That's the correct order in that thing. God doesn't say, get rid of all this stuff and then I'll save you. He says, if you'll come just like you are and receive me as your Savior, I'll save you and then I'll help you to clean up your life. So number one, you got to have salvation. I got to move quickly. Number two, the rest of these are for those of us that are already saved. Separation. If you're going to clean your life up, there's got to be some separation. Paul deals with separation in great detail in this chapter, and I don't have the time to go into all of it, but if you'll look at 2 Corinthians 6, beginning in verse 14, and really going through the end of the chapter, that's his whole emphasis and focus. He's talking about separation there. And even down in verse 17, he says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, look at it, saith the Lord. So who said that? Who says we ought to have some separation in our lives? The Lord said that. And here's one of the reasons why you want to practice separation. It's so that you can clean up your life. Because here's what I've said to you many times before. If, as I've said, my former pastor told me, if you hang around the hogs, you're going to get slop on you, right? If you are constantly in fellowship, if you're constantly yoking up with people that are unsaved or people that are dirty and living filthy, and that's the people you hang around all the time, then you will never get clean in your life. You've got to back away from any people or any activities, for that matter, that are dirty if you expect to get clean. So there's got to be salvation, and there's going to have to be some level of separation in your life if you expect to get clean. Number three, I'm hurrying through these. Number three, you're going to have to take advantage of the Scripture, the Word of God. One reason I say that is because three different times, at least in this chapter alone, when talking about different things, you know what Paul does? Just what I mentioned a while ago. He goes right back to that Old Testament and he pulls the Word of God into his discussion and he puts that on the church at Corinth. So he shows to us the value and the importance of the Scripture, the Word of God, and one of the greatest cleansing agents, probably the greatest cleansing agent that we have as Christians, is the Word of God. So if you're going to get your life cleaned up, get out some dirty stuff, you've got to take advantage of the Word of God. In verse number 2, as we saw, he quotes the Scripture. He does it again in verse number 16. He does it also in verses 17 and 18. Three times he goes to the Scripture. So you and I must use the Scripture. Here's some verses I want you to think about. I'm just going to give them to you. Psalm 119, the psalmist asks this question. We're talking about cleaning ourselves up. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? That's the question. Then he answers that question by saying, taking heed according to thy what? Word. He says, how's a young man going to clean his life up? Got some younger people in here. How are you going to clean your life up if it needs to be cleaned up? You're going to have to go to the Scripture. Go to the Scripture. Jesus said this to his disciples. He says, now ye are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. He says, clean them up, Lord. Sanctify them. And this is how you do it, through your word. Last one I want to give you, Ephesians 5:26. When Paul's talking about the Lord and his relationship with the church, he teaches that one thing the Lord wants to do with his church is clean his church up. The Lord doesn't want a dirty bride. Y'all know that? That's what the Bible says. He wants a clean bride, a pure white bride. He doesn't want a dirty, nasty, unclean, defiled bride. That is not what God wants. That is not what the Lord Jesus Christ wants. He desires to clean us up. And how is he going to do it? Listen, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, the church, listen, with the washing of water by the word, is what he says. If you're going to get clean, you're going to have to utilize the Scriptures. One of the greatest motivations for reading the Bible, studying the Bible, learning the Bible, obeying the Bible, is so we can clean up our lives. Here's number four. I got just a few more we'll mention to you. The sanctuary. In chapter 6 and verse 16, he references the temple of God. And I know this isn't a temple here. I realize that. But we do call this the Lord's house, don't we? I mean, it's what we call this, the church house here in this community. We call this the church. Do you know one thing that'll help you clean your life up? Really? I'm serious. I can be going to church. Right? That's the truth. Just being faithful to church will help your life get cleaned up. Some of the greatest decisions that I have ever made in my life that have helped me to get closer to the Lord and get my life cleaned up more was in church, was in a service. And I believe that is the case for a couple of reasons. Number one, ideally, church is a clean place, right? Ideally, I know we're all sinners, so it's not perfectly clean. There's issues in any church you go into. I get that. But ideally, the church environment is a clean environment. Do you know one thing that happens when you come to church? Is you just have a time where you come apart from the filth of the world into a clean environment where you don't have to think at least for a little while about all the filth and rot that is in this world out there. And with all the stuff that we have now, all the social media and TV and all that stuff, we're just bombarded with it all the time out in the world. It's good to come to church and leave that mess alone for a while. If you'll do that, it'll help you. Just to get in a clean environment. Just to get in a clean environment. But also, when you come to church, it gets you under the Word. Right? I mean, if you go into a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, you get under the Word of God. And the more you're under the Word of God, the more chance you have for the Lord to deal with you and help you get something out of your life that doesn't need to be there. Number five, the Spirit of God will help you to clean up your life. In chapter 6, verse 16, he says, "In what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God." Look at that. "For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Let me ask you this. Those of us that are saved, where does the Lord live? In us, right? We are said to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. So he lives in us in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit on the inside of us can help us. He can empower us. He can strengthen us to help us overcome the sins of the flesh and the dark sins that are down in our heart that we've done a real good job of hiding from other people. The Holy Spirit can help us with those things so we can get clean. And last of all, I want to say this. The saints of God. The saints of God can help you. Back to this idea about going to church. I talked with a guy Friday when I talked to him. And in the discussion, he went right where so many people do when I talked to him. He told me, he said, I'm saved. I got saved when I was a kid. I said, "Well, you go to church anywhere?" "Well, no, I don't really go to church anywhere. There's just so many hypocrites in church and all that kind of stuff." And then he come out with the status quo answer. "Well, I don't have to go to church to be saved. I don't have to go to church to go to heaven." How many of you know that's true? Church didn't save me. Jesus Christ saved me, okay? There's no church that saves you. And you don't have to go to church to go to heaven. But 99.9% of the time when somebody says that, they're just trying to excuse the fact that they don't go to church. Y'all understand that? That's what that is. I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to go to heaven to go. You don't have to go to church to go to heaven. There's a whole lot of stuff in church you need. I'm going to tell you one thing you need. You need the fellowship of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Because through their example, y'all think about this right here. I'm just going to give you a real live illustration from our congregation. He's not with us today, but y'all think about Brother George Fauci, for example. And I'm not just holding him up above everybody else, but I'm just using him as an illustration. How many of you have been encouraged by that man's faithfulness? How many of you have wanted a better, more dedicated relationship with God because of what you see in that man right there? Do you understand what I'm saying? If you hang around godly people, they can help you. You fellowship with them. You break off that fellowship, what he says back in verse 14. You break off that fellowship and all the time with people that are heathens and godless and don't know the Lord Jesus. I have yet to figure out why somebody says they're saved wants to hang around a bunch of lost people all the time that's drinking beer and cussing and doing all that nasty stuff. Why, if you want to get around them to help win them to Christ, to witness to them, help yourself. That's what we ought to do. But those people should not be the kind of folk you fellowship with. The ones you should fellowship with and surround yourself with are God's people. And they'll inspire you and provoke you and encourage you and help you. There are so many people. I could list you just, I don't even know the people through the years that have inspired me to clean my life up and desire a greater, more dedicated relationship with the Lord. And I thank God for those people and the influence they've had on me. So here's things that we can use to help us. And I'm going to end with this. Look back at 2 Corinthians 7:1 one more time. I want to show you. Here's some motivation for trying to get your life cleaned up and be holy. Look at it. Chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises. What promises? The ones he just gave you in the previous chapter. Specifically verse 16, 17, and 18. But look at verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. If it's unclean in the eyes of God, leave it alone. You hear? Leave it alone, whatever it is. But then notice, God says, if you'll do that, this is what I'll do. I'll receive you. And then he says, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now think about this, and I'm all done. Positionally speaking, when I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, doesn't God at that very moment become my Father? So in that sense, he's my Father. He is now and forever shall be that I'm saved, right? But Paul's talking to saved people here. And he says to those saved people, he reminds him, look, you saved people, this is what God says. Here's the promises God makes you. The promise is that if you'll clean your life up, then I will be a father unto you. He is my Father, but here's the thing. When I get my life in line like it needs to be and get cleaned up, then he becomes a father in the sense that he acts fatherly toward me. You understand what I'm saying? I sense that relationship and I see his blessings in my life. He gets closer to me and I get closer to him and he begins to do stuff for me that's not going to happen in my life as long as I'm living in filth. You know why some Christians just don't really sense the presence of their Father in their life? And why they don't really see him pouring out his blessings on them like he does for some of his other children? You know why? Because they're like some of those I talked about in the beginning of this message. They're dirty and they're satisfied being there. You clean yourself up and you'll begin to see God, your Father, in a way like you've never seen him before. He'll reveal himself. He'll do things. I think about this and I'm all done. I'm just using my son as illustration here, talking about him getting dirty. He'll probably be mad with me all evening for talking about him this morning, but here. He's my son, right? I'm his father, and nothing's going to change that. No matter how he ever feels about me, I will forever be his father. That's the way that is. And I don't know about you, but I love to hug on my son. I love to hold him. He's getting big now, you know, and kind of embarrasses him, that kind of thing, you know. I get that. But I'm going to still hug him every chance I get. I'm going to hold him. I'm going to love on him. I told the other day, I said, your little baby, I used to set you up in my lap and take you and play patty cake with your feet. I'd be paralyzed if I tried to do that now. I'd love to get close to him. But now here's the thing. When I'm clean and in the house and he comes in from outside and he stinks, gnats is all around him. Y'all ever seen that guy on Charlie Brown toting that thing around, that dust ball around him? That's how he is sometimes when he comes in. That's not what I want to hug from my son. I want him to get cleaned up, and when he gets cleaned up, then I'll hug him. You want your father to want to get close to you and love on you and hug on you and manifest himself in your life? You're going to clean yourself up. He is not going to get close to you if you're filthy and nasty. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you so much for everything you do for us.
And Lord, I pray that somehow you take the message and use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.